So as you all know, Pastor had found this series on John, and what he found was devotionals every day, which is awesome. So everybody got a little bit confused. So we get to hear more about feeding the 5,000 and Jesus being the bread of life. If you noticed today when you walked in, if you can smell, you should have smelled baking bread. When I read what I was supposed to share this week, I was like, oh, let's try something a little bit different. We know that Jesus fed the 5,000. We know that there was 5,000 men and women and children that they didn't count for because back then women were just property. But we know that 5,000, when he fed the 5,000, as Vaughn talked last week, he talked about when he's talking to Philip, and when he was talking to Philip, he was asking Philip to seeing what Philip would say about how to feed these 5,000 people that were coming towards them to up the hill. Jesus sat down and wanted to teach these people. As he was trying to teach Philip, he was trying to see what Philip would put his mind around. And if you notice in Scripture, Philip put his mind around how much money it would cost to feed these 5,000 people, 5,000 plus people. And he put an amount on it. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He already knew what Philip was going to say. But he wanted to see what Philip would say, because he was teaching him that it's not about how much cost it would mean. And he wanted him to know that it was going to be a teaching moment for everybody that was there. As we read in John 6, 4 through 5, it says, it was nearly time for the Passover celebration. So three times in John, you'll hear about three different celebrations. And this was the time when the Jews were trying to get back into God's good graces. How many times are we trying to get back into God's good graces? Don't we want to always be in God's good grace? Yes. Are we always in God's good grace? Yes, because of Jesus, because Jesus died on the cross for each of us. We all make mistakes. We're going to. And Jesus, as he was teaching Philip, he's also teaching us to know that he already knows exactly what's going to happen. But do we? Do we live like we should, being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or are we like the people that walked away? Think about that for a minute. Are we like the people that walked away? Our chairs are not full. They should be, because we all need to help each other. We sometimes just walk away because we think it's too hard. But I can't imagine my life without Jesus, and I take that for granted. We've talked before about going to Taiwan and how the Taiwanese people are so hungry for Jesus, because they have lived this oppressed life of having to appease gods. We take it for granted. We take it for granted so bad. And I feel bad because I take it for granted. We know that Jesus died for us. We don't have to appease anybody. Jesus already paid the price for us. And all he asked for us to do was believe. That's what this whole topic today is about Jesus being the bread of life. And the people didn't believe it. They wanted to know how they could do it, but they didn't listen when Jesus was teaching. They wanted to know how to do it. And what did Jesus say? Just believe. Believe in the one that God sent. And that was Jesus. John 6, 14 and 15 says, when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been expecting. And then Jesus saw that they were ready to force him into being their king, and he slipped away into the hills by himself. Why do you think Jesus went to the hills? Because he didn't want to die early. He knew what these people were thinking, and he didn't want to die early because it wasn't part of God's plan. And he wanted to, I'm sure, to go talk to God about it. How many times do we wait till we're in this bad situation and then talk to God? Instead of talking to God so that if we do get in a bad situation, we know that he's going to take care of it anyway. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that if something happens that we can get through it? Or do we wait until we're in the middle of it and then cry, oh, God, help me through this. Jesus, help me. I know that you're always there, but do I really know that you're always there? What I really wanted to focus on today is Jesus being the bread of life, because he is the bread of life. John 6, 22 through 40 says, the next day the crowd had stayed on the far shore and saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, And then they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" So in some of the scriptures that I read, this is where, right before, this is where the disciples took the boat over and Jesus didn't go with them. It's where Peter walked on water, but in John, you don't really hear about that in John. You only hear about that in Mark or Matthew. But as they were going across, Jesus walked on water, but they were afraid because they thought he was a ghost. Karina and I were talking yesterday about the ghost aspect. And I'm like, okay, I didn't even think about that. But I was like, they thought he was a ghost, so they were afraid. But they weren't afraid to go across to the other shore, even though it was at night. And they knew that there could be a wind, there could be a storm brewing because of where the shore was or where the sea was. They weren't afraid of that. They knew that they could have that, but they weren't afraid. But they were afraid because of the storm. And then they were afraid because somebody was coming at them. And Jesus had to identify himself so they wouldn't be afraid. But they say, the scripture says that they took the only boat. So how did Jesus get across? Why weren't the people thinking of that? They weren't thinking of that. They were thinking, oh, we got to find Jesus because he can feed us again. He can feed us real food. Let's see what more he'll give us because he fed the people. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you may want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be too concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." He's telling them, you don't need to worry about food. You'll be taken care of. You should be worrying about me more because I'm your eternal life. They replied, "We want to perform God's work too. What should we do?" As I said before, Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you." How many of us miss the miracles that are always around us? We do. We miss them all the time because we're not looking for them. We're looking for God to take care of things, but are we really looking for God to take care of things? It's easy to miss the miracles. The miracle of breathing every day and not having problems breathing. The miracle of being able to walk across the room. Y'all heard the story of me inviting my friend to the workshop in October, and her eye was healed. She was kind of blind in one eye, and her eye was almost completely healed. I'm like, "So how are you? Can you see?" "Yeah." And she looked at me like, "Wow." But I think the problem was that she didn't hold on to that belief because her eyes kind of gone back to where it was. But I saw that miracle. And I asked, like, "How are you? How are you feeling?" Now she's changed up some of the stuff that she was doing. And I think she's trying to walk in her faith so that she knows that God can take care of that. We see miracles all the time, but do we recognize them? So my challenge this week to you all is to find your miracles and walk in them. And see miracles in others and point them out. Point those miracles out to others because that builds our faith and it builds others' faith. Because if we're supposed to walk in what Jesus wants us to walk in and live the way Jesus wants us to live, we need to start speaking out. We need to say, "I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm not afraid to be who I am. And he loves me and he loves every one of you." Is it easy? It should be. But I think my problem is, what will somebody think? What will somebody think of me if I say that? Or I get thrown in jail. How many people die because they are a believer of Jesus Christ? Glory to God. We live in a bubble. I'm going to call it our bubble because we live in Utah. Yeah, we have a lot of different religions and stuff, and we have a dominant one. But we live in a bubble. The people in other countries, they are always persecuted for Christ. And we should be thankful that we don't get persecuted more than we do. We get persecuted for being gay, but we don't really get persecuted for being a believer. After all, our ancestors ate manna while they were journeying through the wilderness. Scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those who the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I will come down from heaven and do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I shall raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Are we hungry? Are we really hungry? Are we really hungry? This is the Book of Life. Has all the answers we'll ever need. Has examples of people that have been through stuff that we never ever would have to go through. And if we really listened and read the book and tried to figure it out, we would walk a different path so that we wouldn't have to. If we're anxious, we just have to remember that to be still and know that God's for us, not against us. If we believed, I am a whosoever, for God so loved the world that I'm a whosoever, it wouldn't matter what people said. My brother is in Mexico this weekend building a house or a church or something because he just believes that doing mission work is the best. And it is because he's putting himself out there and knowing that God's going to take care of him. He's going to Brazil. He's been going to Brazil for the last 10 years, building churches in Brazil. We've been to Taiwan and Mexico City and Australia, and I want to go somewhere again. I don't want to be 60 years old and not have another trip, a mission trip. I wanted to go to Mexico City with Stephen, and then I wanted to go to Brazil, but we have to get our passports renewed. I just want to do something. But I can do it right here in my own neighborhood. I don't have to go across the country, across the world. I can do it in my own neighborhood. There are so many people out there that need our love. And when I say our love, it's not my love because my human love is not perfect. But they need Jesus' love. And if we're going to be like Jesus because he is the bread of life, then we need to be Jesus' hands and feet. He was only one person. There's 8 people in this room. How many people can we touch this week? At least 8 or 9. How many people do you come in contact with every day? I was thinking of the other day, there was a talk about, I think it was MTS, where Pastor Donnie says, you disciple this person for a year, and then this person will disciple a person, and then it just multiplies. We need multiplication, but it starts with us. We need to be able to know what the word says. We need to get it inside of our heart and live it. And yeah, we're never going to be perfect in our own humanness, but we're perfect in Christ already because all of us have said yes. If not, we wouldn't be in this room. Jesus is the true bread from heaven. To understand the action in these verses, we must back up and trace the movements of all of the characters. Jesus performed the miracles of feeding the 5,000 where on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. That evening, his disciples boarded a boat, headed west towards Capernaum without Jesus, who had gone up to the mountain to be alone. And then Jesus came to his disciples during the storm. So Jesus and the disciples arrived together at Capernaum. On the opposite side of the shore, the crowd had seen the disciples leave and knew that Jesus had gone with them and that the disciples had taken the only boat. The next morning, they discovered that Jesus had gone and they knew that he had not gone with his disciples. Well, if they knew that, why didn't they believe that he could walk on water? I haven't personally seen Jesus' face. I haven't lived with Jesus. His disciples lived with him for 3 years. At the end of chapter 6, it talks about him asking them if they were going to walk away like the other disciples walked away. And Peter's like, where would we go? How many of us think it's all about us and not about Jesus? We live in a world that it's all about us. Unfortunately, we live in that world, but we don't have to live in that world. It's all about Jesus. If it's all about Jesus, we're perfected. There's bread downstairs, so after service, please eat some bread. Get your fill, because there's plenty. We're going to have some of it for communion. Think about the bread of life. Think about what Jesus can do and has done for you in your life. Think about the miracles that happen every day. Think about what you can do as an individual. Don't get overwhelmed of what you can't do. Just do something. Because God is going to take care of us, always. All we have to do is ask. We have not because we ask not. Scripture. Or we have, like these people that wanted more food, they asked, but they asked for the wrong thing. They didn't ask for Jesus. They asked for the human stuff. Barry was talking about getting back on Facebook and telling people that they're missed. We should flood everybody that isn't in this room that we know that needs to be here. We should flood their messenger about being missed and being loved. Karina sent a text today. Miss your loves and hugs. I posted something on Facebook about sharing John and being the bread of life today. I fought with God this morning about it. Why? Responsibility. Nobody wants responsibility. But that's what we should want, because Jesus was responsible for all of us, and he paid it on the cross. The Father sent him to pay the price for each of us, and he paid it. So to be a good brother and sister to Jesus, we should want to pay for it too. Will you go with me in prayer? Father God, as we come before you today, we're thankful, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have. We're thankful, Lord, for Jesus Christ, and for him saying yes, for you giving him up for each of us. We're thankful for that he is the bread of life and that we are full. Our spirits are full. Our bodies are full. And Lord, help us as we go forth this next week to touch people's lives the way you would touch them, to be joyful in some circumstances that we don't understand, because you told us to be joyful in all things. Lord, I sometimes don't want to be joyful in things that are hard. But thank you for teaching me to be able to be joyful. Thank you, Lord, that we have this time. We get to set this time aside every week to come and fellowship with one another. But thank you, Lord, the biggest reason we want to be here is to praise and worship you. We don't have to be in this building. We can praise and worship you every day long, all day long. When we're humming that song, when we're praying for somebody as we're walking down the road or in our car jamming, thank you, Lord, that you've created so many things in our lives that we can just be thankful. Thank you, Lord, that whatever ailment is stopping each of us, Lord, we ask right now in Jesus' name that you heal us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, especially our hearts, so that we can go out and love like you do. And help us, Lord, when we start to speak words of death, that you stop us. You shut our mouths so that we don't speak those words. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor D and the things that he is teaching us and taught us. And thank you, Lord, for his complete healing. We await expectantly for the great, continued great news. We're thankful, Lord, for the things that you're doing in each of our lives, and you're growing us, and we're growing together. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given each of us to live this year and for our church word. And thank you, Lord, that you're in the middle of the mess. We all have a story to tell, and the mess will always be the message of love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.